Vasco.
It is time for the Sports Page on the Thursday morning show. Thanks for tuning in today. You'll hear language here you hear nowhere else in the world. At least that's what I have found out. Not bad language, just a different way of speaking.
Yeah, it's a different sports language. Yeah.
Guys,
a little golf.
Do.
And what Jack LaValle put one in the other day, hit him in the numbers. He didn't know what the hell that was even about.
That's John Bauer. We've got Kyle Erickson and Fred Friedman. Morning, Fred.
Good morning, Heidi. Good morning, John. How are you? Good morning, Kyle. How are you guys all doing?
All good here.
Doing really good. I just want
to... 11-1 will make you feel better, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Rosario looks like he has a check swing, and it lands in center field. It looks like would have hit the roof of the dome. The guy's got amazing power. But here, before we even get to that, I have to say this again. Does Roy Smalley get paid by the word? I want to ask you this. Fred, you're old school. Kyle, you're fairly old school. I mean, when you listen to Herb Carneal and you listen to people talk, Vin Scully, they let the game, they let you enjoy the game and let you interpret stuff. Roy Smalley, first of all, I didn't know he was a major league pitcher. He knows everything, and he can't stop freaking talking. Does that bother you guys?
You guys had mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I think I had kind of subconsciously tuned the Smalley voice frequency out before. And now you guys have cursed me because since you mentioned it, I've been paying attention to it. And last night was awful.
Fred,
he just
what do you
ran
think?
His mouth nonstop.
And, here,
oh. He got exhausted. He started to quiet down at the end because he was exhausted.
Here's my attitude. It's about all communication and teaching. Do you say something and let somebody else talk? Do you, how few words can you say it in? It's just like TV news people. Some people take four paragraphs to ask a question. Some people like Charlie Rose can ask the question in 5-6 words. Just people have, I think they struggle with language and they regard themselves as a story.
Yeah, that's the deal. I mean, someone's got to, I'm going to have to do something or complain about it. So Roy Smalley, they asked Roy Smalley like a few weeks ago if he's ever pitched before. He said he pitched one inning when he was like 11. So now he's an expert. And then Jack Morris is also an expert on hitting the ball. I'm just wondering how that works out, how that plays out.
Well, they all know more than we because they were there. But yeah, I mean, they've been told they're all, look, if you've been told your whole life, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're good looking, you're great, you're great, you're great, you start believing that stuff. So, hey, I'm just glad it's tomorrow's September and we're talking about the hometown. Okay?
Let me build a bridge from the aggravation of Smalley to the goodness of the Twins surging
all right,
offense.
Build that bridge.
For me, the most annoying part about Smalley was when he spent 5 solid minutes stumbling to explain how Eddie Rosario kept his hands back on the breaking ball that Rosario deposited 415 feet into center field.
Yeah.
So while Smalley really bumbled the explanation, he was right in principle in that this is something we talked about Buxton doing several weeks ago, and Rosario is doing it, and the Twins' young talent isn't getting fooled by off-speed stuff anymore, and you got to give all the credit in the world, I think, to James Rouse and the Twins' hitting coach. He's taught them, even if they commit their front foot, even if they start their body action, they're keeping their hands back. And so rather than hitting those breaking pitches off the end of the bat, weakly rolling them to second base, they're staying back on it, and you end up with this incredible power surge where the Twins have the most home runs in Major League Baseball over the last month. And Rosario is what? Maybe 6 foot if he's wearing clogs, maybe 180 pounds if
generous.
He's soaking wet. And he's got 20 home runs, and they're not, wall scrapers. They're 420 footers.
So I got a smart aleck remark about that, okay?
Yeah.
So with all that talking about keeping your hands back while you move, hands last, why couldn't Roy Smalley Jr. or Roy Smalley Sr., who is a pathetic shortstop for the Cubs of the 50s, why couldn't either of them keep their hands back?
They didn't have James Rouson.
But they know how to do it. At least Roy Smalley looks good doing it. You know what I mean? A little salt and pepper mixed
hair.
In.
Come on. He's got great hair.
Great hair. Great hair. Hey, did you know the Twins are 6 games over 500?
And they've won 10 more games than all last year.
I know.
And with this surge and with the Yankees stumbling a bit, they are 1 game
out of the
first wild card spot.
Yeah, you you East Coast listeners, we might want to point out that the Yankees got swept yesterday by the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, they got smoked.
So we said a couple weeks back that with a couple key injuries, Cleveland might scuffle a little bit. That's not happening. They're on a tear. They're 7 games ahead of the Twins. Looks like Cleveland's probably got the AL Central locked up.
Pretty much has to.
But if the Twins get, now correct me if I'm wrong, if the Twins sneak into that first wild card spot, then they get the home field advantage for the one game playoff against the second spot. Is that how that works?
I don't know how. Is that what it is?
It's a one game deal.
For the first, the team that secures the first wild card plays the second.
Has a big edge, yes.
Oh, jeez. Well,
what if I had told you guys on April 1, on a Thursday in April, that there'd be a big, huge game being played in Minneapolis on a Thursday afternoon, and the Twins hurler was Bartolo Colon?
I would have probably connected you with a mental health professional.
Heidi would might have let me go or cut my salary.
Yeah. They talked a little bit about it when they were interviewing Santana yesterday. They were saying about how good he is in the clubhouse, and he's got to be. He's just so relaxed, and I'm sure it helps him. Maybe he took Kyle Gibson out for some dinner a couple nights ago or something, because Gibson's actually pitched 2 good games in a row, and that's what has to happen. And Barrios needed to have a great game, and some of his stuff is untouchable. Jeez, it breaks so much.
7 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts, I think he ended up with, and he made some pretty good hitters look pretty bad last night.
Yep.
You know, I know it's human psychology to spend more time complaining about bad stuff than talking about good stuff like Smalley. But I just want to remind you of something to feel really good about, okay? That's that Mike Belfry's wearing another team's uniform.
I got to tell you, Fred, it did my heart good to see him warming up in somebody else's bullpen.
See? I knew you were going to say that, Kyle. Me too.
Yeah, he gets rocked. Okay, so Minnesota Lynx, Heidi, did they win?
They won last night over Indiana Fever.
Indiana Fever.
Yeah.
When's Lindsay Whalen coming back, Heidi?
Is she coming back?
They were hoping for the last couple of games, which would be this Friday and Sunday, but they haven't said if she is or not. But Brunson was back last night, and they needed her, so that was good.
Yeah, they got throttled earlier this week.
They need Whalen back in the playoffs.
Yeah, they do.
Tomorrow, they need her for the playoffs.
So they can't change their playoff status at all. They've got the bye through 2 rounds. It doesn't matter if they win or lose the last 2 games, right?
That's no, right. Really, they have number 1 lap wrapped up?
That's what it says, yeah.
Oh, I thought they had to win all their games. Maybe they lost. Los Angeles lost. I heard that they had to win all 3 games to get the first seed, but maybe they did.
Okay. If that's the case, my hunch is that they probably will just rest Whalen, make sure she's all the way back for the playoffs, and don't risk rushing her back for a game that doesn't materially affect anything and maybe risk re-injuring that finger.
September 12th at Williams Arena.
Yeah,
the Wild have preseason hockey.
Yeah.
Talk about being a priority, huh?
And they played their new Italian player last night, too, and I just felt bad for her. She got was drafted one day and then out there the next day, so they put her out early, and she missed passes, and it was, I just felt for her. She doesn't know anybody.
She was nervous.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim Wacker starts the season out tonight. Oh, excuse me, P.J. Fleck starts the season out.
I did that on purpose.
I'm a radio professional.
That was a smart out. Yep. The Gophers play the vaunted University of Buffalo tonight at all. So they can get a win for sure. You know, we're going to all row the boat. UMD football starts at home tonight, and it's the subject of meaningless. I believe the Vi Queen play tonight, do they not?
Yes, they do.
Meaningless of games, the 4th preseason game.
Don't play any starters. Please do not play any starters. Fred, why in the world is UMD playing on a Thursday night?
Do you think that's Labor Day weekend? We were talking about that at
maybe.
The gym at 6 o'clock this morning, you know?
It must be. That's crazy that they're playing on Thursday. But I suppose they just don't want to compete with Labor Day. Kids go home, I suppose, and things like that.
Yeah, school started a week early. UMD and U've already been, they started classes last Monday. started a week early this year. So, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, the Twin City writers are kind of in love or what out awe of this P.J. Fleck character. So we'll see. I mean, I actually heard grown men saying, oh, he's going to be great, he's going to be great. Well, I've been hearing this since the late 60s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to give him credit for what he did at his previous stop, building a kind of a nothing football school into a team that beat some you know, powerhouse teams. He's got all the energy of, if you gave my 9-year-old a couple of Red Bulls, you know, that usually plays well in,
oh, I know.
In recruiting, which, you know, recruiting is 60% of the college game, is you got to get the right talent on the field, and the Gophers haven't consistently had that. So we'll get a chance to see if in addition to the energy and the rah-rah, he's got the X's and O's on the field to compete with the Ohio States and Wisconsin's.
But
and,
he's got to be able to keep pace with Buffalo and East Westchester State, too. Maybe. You got to win those games.
Babies.
Champions of the Southern Division.
Got to get those freebies so they could brag about it at the end of the season when they want the raise. Yeah. I want to remind you that Jerry What's-His-Face, I mean, he won at Northern Illinois and Southern Illinois and Pittsburgh State and Kansas, but it's a different recruiting thing now. And
to be fair, though, I think Jerry Kill had the Gophers headed in a pretty good direction before he had the trouble with the seizures and the health that ended his coaching career. I think if he had had a few more years to keep building his program, he'd have done fine.
Yeah, I hope so. Why they didn't give him a front office job or administrative job is one of the mysteries I don't understand. I'm sure there's a reason.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason.
That doesn't mean it's a good one.
No, I know, but we don't know some of these things. I'm sure there is a reason. Maybe he's grinding somebody, you know? I don't know. I saw a sign on a billboard outside, an electronic sign in Grand Rapids said, flag football for junior high in Greenway. And I thought, holy cow, times are changing. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, Fred.
Yeah, well, I want you to think about this. They asked somebody, you know, the NFL contract ends in a couple of years, and they asked one guy, because they're already talking about walk-offs, you know, but, you know, not strikes 3 years from now. And they asked one of the negotiators, what do you think, how we're going to avoid this? And his answer, I think, says centuries worth of work. He says, what do I care? There's not going to be any football in 20 to 30 years anyhow.
I think you're right. A lot of empty stadiums.
Think about that.
All right, Fred, hit the ball straight, buddy.
Promise. Doing my best.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot, Kyle. Thanks a lot. You are tuned to 91.7. And Heidi, thanks a lot. You're tuned to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley. We are Northern Community Radio, a nonprofit public broadcast organization committed to building community in northern Minnesota. Operating translators K210DR and Brainerd at 89.9 FM. And K280AT and Ely at 103.9 FM. You can listen online at KAXE.org or on your National Public Radio news app or on your smartphone. Or actually, the news app on your smartphone is one you should use.
Right.
We need people like you, listeners, to become members. You are our largest source of funding. Call us at 800-662-5799. Are you heading down to Tennessee or whatever for your national championship?
We didn't defend our title.
Oh.
We had the regional tournament last Friday, finished fourth. So not a bad showing, but not good enough to get us back there. If it's any consolation to us, the team that beat us is a guy, Austin Felix, who fishes on the FLW Tour. He's a full-time pro angler.
Well, that's
angler,
not and, fair.
Well, it's the deal, you know. You just got to figure out where the good fish are and beat them anyway. But we got beat by a really good team, so no shame.
All right, sounds great. Coming up, news headlines from National Public Radio.